The power of God is what we are going to speak of this Trinity Sunday. And for some of you, I know, what is Trinity Sunday? Why does she keep saying this? So we are starting what is called Ordinary Time on the Christian calendar. It is actually the longest season on the Christian calendar. It is the season after Pentecost, and because it was so long, there was a point that we named the remaining half, Kingdom Tide, where we focused on Jesus' kingship. But on this holy day, we call it Trinity Sunday after Pentecost, because we have officially received the Holy Spirit. And this season will go until Christ the King Sunday, which is the Sunday before Advent. And so for most of that time in between will be green, the pyramids. They're white today because it is communion, but also because it's this holy day of Trinity Sunday, where we celebrate the impressiveness of serving a triune God. Now, I also preface this, it is very hard to talk about the Trinity in a way that we can relate to and understand and not commit heresy. It is not my intention to commit heresy, but we have such limited understanding of such a powerful God. So if you will give me some grace and leeway, we will try to go through this about how powerful God truly is. I also will tell you that though we celebrate the Trinity, you will never find that word in any translation of the Bible. But two of the scriptures I will be sharing with you today will show that we do worship God in such a way. Starting with the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. This is what is known as the Great Commission. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." And then if you would also join me in Paul's letter of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 11 through 13, but actually, depending on your translation, could be 11 through 14. Some versions combine 12 and 13. That's why the discrepancy. "Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. We serve an awesome God.
Amen.
God is good. Do we not know this? God is good, and then you say all the time, and then I say all the time, and you say God is good. All right, let's try it again. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. The power of God. A God that loved us to go before us. A God that loves us to walk with us. And a God that loves us to dwell within us, so that there is no moment that we do not know the power of God and God's love. That is pretty astounding. I take God for granted in a lot of ways. There are times I come up to him in prayer and I talk to him like he's my best friend. I say things to him because I already know he's going to know what I know, so I might as well just be honest. And then sometimes I have to take that step back and go, wow, God is holy and reverent and is willing to meet me like a best friend. Whether it's to grab a cup of coffee, and God even listens to me gossip, even though God doesn't want me gossiping. And if I tell a lie, God already knows it's a lie and is waiting for me to just get to that confessing and the truth part. But that God lets me make the mistakes, that's how much God loves me. And that God really wants to wait till I invite God into my life. God could have been the dictator the whole time. I made you, you're mine, you will serve me. But God wanted a partnership, God wanted a relationship, God wanted a commitment from us that almost makes us feel equal. Remember, I said we're going to go to heresy a couple times, but please, please wait with me. Because I know I'm not equal to God, but God enters a partnership like we are. That God listens to my prayers, even though God knows what's best. God knows my understanding is so little in the universe, and that I think I have all the answers sometimes when I go to God in prayer. And yet, God listens like it's brand new information. And God lets me cry what I need to cry. God lets me shake my fist when I need to shake my fist. And God laughs with me in delight when we get it together. That's a holy God, to make room, to make grace as I figure things out. When you go to the beginning of the Bible, and it starts with God the Creator, creating everything, isn't it astounding what God created? Yeah. God has a purpose for the ladybug. God has a purpose for a roach. I don't know what it is, but I know that God created it with a purpose. And I know that there's a lot of bugs that I'm not friends with, but that they serve a purpose. And I promise you, if a bee starts buzzing around me, I'm going to get tense. But I also know that bee is helping me survive. That little bee. Because God created this garden for us to have plenty, to have food, and that this garden gives me oxygen. Those trees give me oxygen so I can breathe. And then do you know what we do? We're breathing out that carbon dioxide to feed the trees. How brilliant is that? That they created this ecosystem on a one-try system. Have you ever tried to create something? And there's that, like, nailed it series of, like, look at this beautiful painting. And then you like show what you painted by numbers and you're like, nailed it. And it, like, this was flowers and this is like maybe a balloon. But that God got it right away. And our human body, like when you really think about the power of your body, now you really notice when you get sick or have to go in surgery and you're like, I had no idea that I use that all the time. Like your back, like it's just a back until you spasm that out, all of a sudden you can't do anything. Or your shoulder, like you only think that would really affect a pitcher. But like you go to pick up like a cup of water and you're like, nope, not today. Because our bodies are so intricate and so amazing. And God breathed life into us. Read that in the scriptures. When God is creating man, God breathed life into us. And then think about it, how the blood comes to our heart to get clean and purified and oxygenated, and then it goes back out in our body to give it movement and life. I mean, wow. And I didn't even have to study anatomy to be like, I can still breathe and I can still blink my eyes and move my hand and move my feet. Like, this is amazing. That's how powerful God is. To create something so humble that we use every day, and we still don't get how amazing it is. I know many of you have seen a sunrise, and there's days it's just like the sun is up. But sometimes when you're in the presence of God, when you're in that place of peace, or craving a moment from God and you go, wow, that sun rose today. How beautiful. Or that sunset and all the colors, and you're like, God was just painting today. And it just strikes us. And we live in such a great part of the country that we can go up to the mountains within a couple hours and we can go to the beach within a couple hours. We witness the ocean and the mountains. Now, for you all where I grew up, those hills kind of going to our parking lot was like big hills in where I grew up, okay? I grew up in farm country where you could see the horizon. I didn't know you all couldn't just see the horizon, because we had all farmland flat. And like, if you looked at my city, it was a perfect grid. Every block was almost like sliced corners. These are your streets, these are your avenues. We didn't have this like, oh, it changes three names because it like changed elevation within the drive. Some of those potholes are probably about as big as our hills were, you know? And I would drive up to school. I went to school, seminary up in Hood. And I'd get the best mountain view sometimes right at that break of the state. And that was just my daily drive. Like, we forget how many wonders really strike us in a day. This is the power of God. That we have a God that created all of this. And then we had a God. Now, let's listen to Jesus' story for a second. Jesus was born a baby. So I had to go through all the awkward life lessons we do. And then ministry for a very short time. He had to get a team together. He had to go walking everywhere. He had to go to places that he knew weren't going to welcome him. And he even had the same guys traveling with him like, whoa, let's not do that. And Jesus is like, this is the whole point. That we're going to do the hard stuff so that they know how much I love them. You remember when I accepted you with all your flaws and I said, you're going to go heal people. You're going to go change people's lives. And this isn't written in the Bible. But don't you feel like Peter was kind of like, yeah, but Jesus, that was different. That was me. But aren't we sometimes like that with Jesus? Like, oh, I don't want to love that neighbor. That neighbor, they're mean. They're rude. They've lied. They've gossiped. Have I named something that you haven't done at least once in your life? Right? Some of us catch that as we are that person forever. But God came with grace for us. So Jesus goes through this ministry, heals people, has people on him all the time. Those who believe and those who don't still demanding the same attention. And he gave freely. He gave with love. He didn't sit down with them and be like, all right, do you accept me in your heart before I bless you? We'll see how big your blessing is today. How much did you give to the coffers? Judas, did they give enough? You can have a small miracle today. Jesus went and loved and did ministry. And the people that weren't invited to the table, he made a point to invite himself to their table. Guess what? You get to host me today. You know what? It's not even my house, but you should come have dinner with us. You know what? I'd really like to sit down and break bread with you. That was the healing Jesus was doing. To say, you're a human and I love you. All your flaws and all your perfections. So Jesus came, walked with us, died for us, was resurrected for us, lived again amongst us, ascended to heaven and said, by the way, I'm coming back, make room. But in between, I'm leaving you a friend. I'm leaving you a helper because I know this world's too tough to not have my love. And sent the Holy Spirit. Now, y'all, This year has been hard. I love Advent. And I don't know if you remember, but I was struck with COVID December 1st. And I was like, oh, that's not fun. That's not fair. I'm kind of busy. And stuff I want to do. This is the good part of ministry. And I felt like God even then was like, oh, you wait. And I love Pentecost. It gets to be loud and exciting, and I tell you to wear red. So when I came down with COVID again, I said, wow, that's really not fun. And God's like, but I got it. So this is why I'm in my red hot Pentecost this Sunday. Because I want to welcome the Holy Spirit. And we are on the other side of the Bible. So we know that God goes before us and with us and dwells within us. So we get to celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit always. And that's why we celebrate Trinity Sunday now, because we just received the Holy Spirit. Remember that Jesus said, go wait for me together. Be in community when this happens, because it's going to be pretty powerful. And that's why we're here to celebrate the power of God. So we brought up the tripod when we were in children's chat. Do you know that's actually the strongest foundation? I could rock on my stool that's got four legs, but if you get a solid tripod, that's why the camera is set up on there. It's a firm structure. My engineering people could tell me all the reasons the angles work together. How amazing, the power of three. Now, when I talk about the Trinity, one of the most powerful symbols I've ever seen is a triangle. And it says, Father, or Creator, is God. There's a spoke and a big circle says God. And then you have on the other side, Jesus, the Son, is God. And then you have the Holy Spirit, is God. All are God. But then there's this piece that says in these little corners, Father is not Jesus. Jesus is not Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not Father. They are all God, but very separate parts. Now here's some of the heresy to try to make it in our language. Sitting before you, I am a pastor of Emmanuel United Methodist. That's true. But also true at the same exact moment is I am wife to Corey. And at the same point, I am also mother to Drew. All of that is true within this meaning and this moment. One, but three very different roles. Another example is the water. I like this. So I like God, the Creator, as the ice block. Nice and strong and firm foundation. And then I like to think of Jesus as the water that it melts into. That the Creator, this is God's Son, is the water. I've also heard it the other way. And that Jesus is the living water. And then when it evaporates, the steam, the Holy Spirit. Now, is there flaws to this example? Absolutely. Because one of the things we never want to believe is that all of God was on that cross that died. That's why we need to make the separate distinction. The world was not without God for 3 days. It was without Jesus, the Son. Now, we don't name the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, but we talk about God's presence. We talk about different language that way. And so please remember, our language is limited. We have earthly, finite standards. That God lives outside those standards. That the divine is powerful. So when we try to group it into a little visual or a little lesson, it's impossible. But that it gives us something to kind of have that tangible. And if there's only one thing you take away from this lesson, is that God is love. God, the Creator, is love. Jesus, the Son, is love. The Holy Spirit is love. And we know this from the first letter of John. This is very near the end. Chapter 4, verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. That's a pretty cool verse. But that God is love. And so now I want to read a scripture for you, which is known as the love chapter in the first letter of Corinthians, also chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. It's very commonly read at weddings. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not reject and rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And now that we know that God is love, I'd like to reread it. God is patient. God is kind. God is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. God does not insist on God's own way. God is not irritable or resentful. God does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. God bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. God never ends. That is the power of God. And that when Peter was sharing in the letter that we shared earlier of the second letter to Corinthians, what he had said right before that is he had wrote, I want to say this now, I want to correct it now, I know some things are going on that are a little shady there, but when I come, I want us to just love each other. I want us to rejoice in that moment of togetherness. So I'm taking care of that in this letter now. And I want you to remember that you are loved. That there is the love of God, the grace of Jesus, and the communion and community of the Holy Spirit. The God that went before us, like a tour guide, make sure that the path is safe, that there aren't going to be too many hazards, it's not going to be too challenging, and then that the tour guide actually walks with us. Hey, that branch over there, I couldn't move it. Be aware. Oh, you know, this side is pretty, but really, take note of this. This is beautiful. And that after the path, the Holy Spirit being that guide, being that photo book, so you can relive those moments that feel like it wasn't real. How we need the Holy Spirit. How it really completes God. Bible is Biblia in Greek, which means many books. Without the Holy Spirit, this is just a really fancy book. But when you invite the Holy Spirit to read it with you, that's when it becomes the living Word of God. That those words and those scriptures and those passages actually mean something, where they will connect you and be in communion with God. And that God is love. Remember, when you see three, what a great reminder and symbol of God. And good news, it's 2020. You have a whole half a year that every day to be reminded of the power of the Trinity. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, you speak to us in ways that we can't understand. Sometimes it is so informal and just like a good friend that you meet us where we are and what we can handle. And then there are days you show up in all your reverent glory, that the holiness steals our speech, pauses our heart, and we just stand in awe and wonder. Help us to never overlook you. In your precious and holy name, amen.